Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, Text Number 35. Amuni Bhagavad Rupe Mayate Hyandu Bharanite He api na grinanti maya siste vipasthita. Amuni, all these, Bhagavat, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, rupe, in the forms, Maya, by me, te, unto you, he, certainly, anuvaranite, describe respectively, ubhe, both, api, also, na, never, garananti, accepts, maya, external, shiste, being so manifested, vipachitaha, the learned one who knows. Translation: neither of the above forms of the Lord has described unto you from the material angle of vision is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord who know him well. Yeah? We can do that responsibly. Neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you, from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord, who know him well. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The impersonalists think of the absolute personality of Godhead in two different ways, as above mentioned. On the one hand, they worship the Lord in His Vishvarupa, or the all-pervading universal form. And on the other, they think of the Lord's unmanifested, indescribable, subtle form. The theories of pantheism and monism are respectively applicable to these two conceptions of the Supreme as subtle, gross and subtle. But both of them are rejected by the learned pure devotees of the Lord because they are aware of the factual position. This is very clearly mentioned in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which records Arjuna's experience of the Vishvarupa of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Adrishta purvam rishito shmi drishva bayanacha pravyatitam manomi Tadeva me darshaya devarupam prasidi devesha jagan nivasa. Bhagavad Gita 11:45. Arjun, as a pure devotee of the Lord, never previously saw the contemplated universal form of the Lord, Vishvarupa, but when he did see it, his curiosity was satisfied. But he was not happy to see such a form of the Lord because of his attachment as a pure devotee. He was afraid to see the gigantic form of the Lord. He therefore prayed to the Lord to assume his four-handed Narayan or Krishna form, which alone could please Arjuna. Undoubtedly, the Lord has the supreme potency to exhibit himself in multifarious forms, but the pure devotees of the Lord are interested in the forms as eternally exhibited in the abode of the Lord, known as Tripadvibhuti, or Kingdom of God. The Lord in the Tripadvibhuti abode exhibits himself in two forms, either with four hands or with two hands. The Vishvarupa exhibited in the material manifestation has unlimited hands and unlimited dimensions, with everything unlimited. The pure devotees of the Lord worship him in his Vaikuntha forms as Narayan or Krishna. Sometimes the same Vaikuntha forms of the Lord are in the material world also by his grace as Sri Ram, Sri Krishna, Sri Narasimhadev, and thus the etc. And thus the pure devotees also worship them. Usually the features shown in the material world have no existence in the Vaikuntha planets, and thus they are not accepted by the pure devotees. What the pure devotees worship from the very beginning are eternal forms of the Lord existing in the Vaikuntha planets. The non-devotee impersonalists imagine the material forms of the Lord, and ultimately they merge in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, whereas the pure devotees of the Lord are worshippers of the Lord both in the beginning and also in the perfect stage of salvation eternally. The worship of the pure devotee never stops, whereas the worship of the impersonalist stops after his attainment of salvation, when he merges in the impersonal form of the Lord known as the Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, the pure devotee of the pure devotees of the Lord are described here as vipaschitta, or the learned, who are in the knowledge of the Lord perfectly. Let me read the verse again. Amuni Bhagavad Rupe Mayate Hyanavanate Ube Apina Gnananti Maya Shiste Vipaschitta. Neither of the above forms of the Lord, as just described unto you from the material angle of vision, is accepted by the pure devotees of the Lord who know him well. So, Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in his original spiritual form, and he gave his instructions as the Supreme Personality of Godhead that all living entities in this material world are in fact a spirit soul, not any material creation, but a spiritual soul existing in a material body, gross body, and a subtle body. And because we accept these gross and subtle bodies and we serve the senses of these bodies, we are always unsatisfied and suffering the conditions of birth, death, old age and disease in this material world. And Krishna teaches in the Bhagavad Gita that if we give up all these different types of service under material conceptions, ultimately we can return and we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and cultivate that mood of love and service, devotional service of bhakti in this life, taking up spiritual activities. then at the time of leaving this body, we can go back to the spiritual world and remain in the spiritual world eternally without all the problems and sufferings and impediments and obstacles that we face in the material world. So, you know, this is Krishna's teaching in the Bhagavad Gita. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, then the question will be that, well, you claim to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so you're saying, you know, serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but how do we know what is God? So people have many material conceptions of God. Or how do we know God exists, you know, actually beyond the material world? You know, how do we know that God is not just a manifestation of the material energy? So there are so many doubts and questions. So Krishna's teaching is very simple. You serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead because that is your eternal position as a little spirit soul. You belong in the spiritual world with the Supreme Lord and all the other associates of the Lord in a spiritual atmosphere where there's no birth, death, old age and disease. And if you take up that service again, which you've fallen from, then you become liberated and you go back to that spiritual platform. But then there are so many different material conceptions. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains his position that he is nothing of the material world. He says that, know that all material and spiritual manifestations are emanating from me. He tells Arjuna that everything, all truths, whatever you take as a platform of reality, and whatever is resting on those platforms of reality, relatively, they're all coming from me. I existed before all of them. All the demigods, the material and spiritual manifestations. So he says very, very clearly. He also explains that this material manifestation is working under his direction. It's not just going haphazardly. He is actually intelligently controlling the material manifestation. So he is a person with intelligence, controlling abilities, many different energies. So he describes himself very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita. So of course, because the spirit soul is determined to not serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but set oneself up as an imitation enjoyer. So Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme friend, the supreme proprietor, but the living entity, we like to set ourselves up as the, we are the enjoyer, we are the proprietor. And we want to, we don't want to be... we feel that it is a slave mentality. We want to be the Lord, the Master. So we're determined to enjoy the material energy, the objects of the senses, with the material senses that we have. In order to do this, we remain stubbornly fixed up in some philosophy that allows us to continue that practice. We call that dog's obstinacy. We label it under various different types of religions and philosophies and this, that and the other. But it's you know, Prabhupada describes, you know, he just cuts through all the nonsense as Krishna does. Krishna just said, give it all up. Give up all your so-called religions or what have you. Give it all up and surrender to me. And Prabhupada describes that the living entity doesn't want to do that because the spirit soul is determined to enjoy sense gratification. So therefore the living entity is very much attracted to philosophical conclusions that support that activity, that determination. That philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna teaches, is not very attractive to, you know, for one in that mentality. It's the last thing one wants to hear. One is determined. So there are, you know, it is a case of wanting to forget. The material energy is a manifestation of Krishna. If you want to forget God, if you want to forget you are the eternal servant of God, the best place to do that is to go to the material world, and the material energy has that illusory ability that you can forget God completely, not just for a few moments, but you can forget God for billions of years if you so desire. That's the potency of the material energy. So, you know, and to say, justify our material existence, we're very much attracted to those philosophies which perpetuate that. The living entity wants to forget God, and therefore, you know, the concept that God is a person is something not very attracted to. So therefore there are many impersonal philosophies. Here, there are many philosophers, religionists, yogis, jnanis, and they... to satisfy those who have, you know, who want to ask that question, if there's no God, you know, if there's no personality of Godhead, the one we want to forget, let's not mention his name, then what is the source of everything? And they consider that if there is no God, then there is must be an impersonal beginning for all creation, and sometimes they imagine that that very source of material creation is the material energy itself. You know, material scientists also argue like that, that the you know, they have the Big Bang theory, and if you ask, you know, where the material ingredients came from to create the Big Bang, you know, they say that they've basically always been there, which means that they're eternal. If you say to them the soul is eternal, they won't accept that. That's illogical. But if you say that the material elements are eternal, they have to accept that, even though it's just as illogical to them. Because they have no other explanation. If there is nothing in the beginning, then how do you get anything? You know, if there's nothing in the beginning, where do the original material elements come from for the Big Bang? So they accept the cosmic manifestation to have emanated from perhaps a very subtle but material energy. Prabhupada describes that here as he says, the impersonalists, so they're all, you know, the meditators on the impersonal absolute, they're thinking of the absolute personality of Godhead in two different ways, as above mentioned. On the one hand, they worship the Lord in his Visvarupa, or the all-pervading universal form. So they're worshipping the absolute truth as the actual universal form, that which is manifested and which you can see, touch, hear, like that, you know, all the different forms in the universe. And later Prabhupada, he describes it, you know, from these two different impersonalist concepts of the universal form, or the universe, two theories have emanated, which is pantheism and monism. So pantheism, I looked that up in the dictionary. Henry Rood has gone for his dictionary. He's probably already looked. You've already done it. What's the definition there you've got? It's a similar definition that I found, that God is equated with the laws and forces of nature. So, there, although they're using the word transcendent, they're still associating God with the material energy. And, of course, the manifested forms, therefore, appear in the various forms of demigods, Brahma and Shiva and Ganesh and Durga, millions of different demigods, who are... so there are many, many manifestations of God, each one associated, perhaps, with one of the laws or forces of material nature. So, therefore, the forms such as Krishna, Ram, Nrsimha tend to get lumped in there also as, you know, so Krishna may be considered the god of love or, you know, that, so they sort of throw him into a material, you know, association with, you know, something to do with the laws of, you know, material aspects of nature. You know, as a visionary, all of them to get thrown into that. They're sort of manifestations, their forms manifested by the material energy. There are many, many different forms of those presiding deities who personify, you know, different laws or forces of nature, pantheism. You know, this Prabhupada mentions here, others, they think of the Lord's unmanifested, indescribable, subtle form, and Prabhupada associates this with monism. Now, do you have a definition of monism there? I thought so. So, in that sense, it's associating the Supreme in a more subtle state without variety, which is the, you know, a source of oneness from which all the varieties of the mature manifestation come. Still an impersonal conception, so it's there. It's a sense of one God, rather than the many, many forms of God manifested by the material, you know, the material forms of material energy. A sense of one God, but that one God also is the subtle material energy. Um, that subtle material energy, is, you know, as described here, it's unmanifested, indescribable, subtle form. It's understood to be the source of all the gross manifestations. So it's a higher concept of God in a material sense. And those concepts both gradually lead to, if there is some more understanding of Brahman, that this, even this subtle material energy, which is the subtle form of the universal form, is resting upon the Brahman, and that ultimately one may enter into that Brahman. So these different manifestations of monism and the different philosophies of monism and theism associated with the Lord, either the gross material manifestation, the various gods associated with that, or the subtle, unmanifested, manifestation of the universe, gradually leads to realizing that both of those forms rest upon the Brahman, in which case, you know, it just all remains an impersonal concept, whether in the material or spiritual. And ultimately, if one worships any of the gods in this world, either as a pantheist or as a materialistic monotheist, or as an impersonal worshipper of the Brahman, ultimately, as Prabhupada mentions, when they worship the Lord, they consider that there's somewhat forms that will be given up. So if you worship Krishna, if you worship Ganesh, you worship Brahma, you worship Shiva, ultimately those manifested forms, because one way or another everything is impersonal, those personal forms will be given up. But they're a stepping stone like that. Now, that is their philosophy, and yet they even teach those philosophies from the Bhagavad Gita. But Arjuna totally rejected that philosophy, as described here. As when Krishna showed his universal form, as Prabhupada says, it satisfied his curiosity, and then he, that's it, you know, I've had enough. I don't want to see it anymore, show me. He was eternally interested in the form of Krishna, for eternal service. And he said, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is accepted by all the authorities. Śrīla Vyāsadeva, the compiler of all the religious scriptures, Narada Muni, his spiritual master, all the scriptures. Everyone is accepting that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna accepted that. And yet from the same Bhagavad Gita, somehow they found passages that the devotees haven't found which support their pantheism and monotheism and impersonalism. I went to a program a while ago where the person was a follower of Paramahamsa Yogananda. And his teaching was that there are three principal incarnations in Kali Yuga: Krishna, Paramahamsa Yogananda, and Jesus. They are the three main incarnations. And they're all basically equally situated. Jesus, Paramahamsa, and Krishna. And of course, they meditate upon the universal form. And in their philosophy, you can worship any of those forms, or all of them, Krishna, Jesus, Paramahamsa, it doesn't matter, because ultimately it's all one and they'll all be rejected. But it gets you to where you want to go. You know, of course, for us, we wouldn't replace Prabhupada with a million Paramahamsa Yoganandas. Srila Prabhupada his followers, are persons we want to associate with eternally. You know, the concept of giving up Krishna, or Radharani, the Acharyas, and devotional service and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the concept of somehow worshipping them and then just discarding the lot of them, it is a terrible thought for a devotee like that. Nor is it supported in the Bhagavad Gita. If anything actually should be discarded, it's actually the worship of the universal form. And therefore, this verse describes that. Actually, the devotees, those who are pure devotees of the Lord, they actually don't accept. They're not accepted. They actually don't accept them even in the neophyte stage. They neither accept worship of, because here both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam are confirming the same thing. Here is described just with more elaboration that either gross manifestation of the universal form or the subtle material energy, they are material nonetheless. And for those who can't conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they may be accepted in the beginning as a stepping stone, ultimately to help them to gradually come to the platform of bhakti. But ultimately, they're not to be accepted as the worshipable form of the Lord. The actual worshipable form of the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternal, eternally situated in the Vaikuntha planets, such as Krishna, Rama, Narsingha, who sometimes appears in this material world in his eternal spiritual forms of Sudasattva. Those forms are to be accepted, either in the beginning stage of sadhana or in the perfectional stage, and they are to be accepted and worshipped eternally. And of course, for pure devotees of the Lord, this is a very enjoyable and blissful thought and activity. Therefore, you know, even the beginning devotees in Krishna consciousness, especially those who have an attraction, you know, for Krishna and can understand Krishna to some degree, they're actually very, very elevated personalities. They've become very fortunate. They've become fortunate. Somehow or another, they have become the most fortunate persons. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. The most fortunate persons have become devotees of the Lord. And therefore, we should always carefully, offer proper respect even to the beginning devotees, because they are, millions and millions of years, lifetimes ahead of so many others. It takes millions of lifetimes to come to the point of being a jnani. And then even on the platform of Gyani, it's many, 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 many births until someone actually surrenders to Krishna. So all of the devotees of the Lord, they're all like kings and queens in one sense. You know, they're at the top. Even if they're beginning in devotional service, they're beginning at the top. Just like someone may go through primary school, secondary school, and they go through university, and then, you know, they're doing their final year, and at the beginning of that year, they're at the beginning, but they're at the beginning at the top. Yeah? And devotees are like that. So we should always very carefully deal with each other, and as Krishna says, always enjoy the transcendental bliss of conversing about Krishna in each other's company, and blissfully serve Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and go back to Godhead. I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. Everyone satisfied?
Forms the
Krishna could walk around Vrindavan with a million arms, but he's more attractive with two. The other one's probably getting in the way.
Well, but Rupa was actually fearful. Right?
Yes, yeah.
So not attractive.
And, you know, sometimes people ask the question, you know, why is Krishna blue? A simple answer that I often give is that Krishna is the ultimate manifestation of beauty and attractiveness. And it's not just, you know, when you picture Krishna with the golden Radharani and all the, you know, various gopis and the beautiful setting of Vrindavan, his bluish form, you know, is a perfect, you know, attractive feature within that setting. Just like, and therefore, Prabhupada describes that, you know, if you have a beautiful gem, you know, blue sapphire, and you set it in a golden ring, it becomes so much more. So. Like that, you know, the whole manifestation of the spiritual realm, Krishna's form, his associates, they perform a complete picture of beauty. Like that. And so, yes, Krishna's form and the form of all his associates, the entire spiritual world is a perfect, you know, complete picture of beauty. Therefore, you know, throw the universal form in there, it might be a little bit out of place. But he could, but it's not required. Well, they're both Narayan because God is one, Krishna, and Krishna is Narayan. Krishna is Narayan, Vishnu is Narayan. But, you know, in a sort of a technical sense or just to help distinguish, sometimes when we refer to the Supreme Lord in his spiritual abode in the Vaikuntha planets, we might refer to him as Narayan, one of his Narayan forms. When he looks after the material world, then he is in the Vishnu Purusha mood. So Vishnu... So although they're both Narayan, because God is one in many forms, they're both Narayan, but when he looks after material creation, you know, we refer to him as Vishnu.
Because it was said in a few chapters that this Vrinda was lived, this Vishnu was
came out and he was responsible for that Vishnu, as far as I remember, is not the you know, Vishnu who manifests the you know, the transcendental Lord. There is it does mention in the purport there that there is a, you know, another Vishnu who is not that Supreme Personality. I've got it. There are a couple of references to that, but one clearly. He was describing how Vishnu, you know, when the universal form was manifesting, that Vishnu is mentioned as one of the presiding deity of the thighs and the knees, like that. For, and therefore, because of that, you can do yajna. And it's mentioned, I think, in a couple of places in the Bhagavatam, and in one place, Srila Prabhupada mentions quite clearly that this Vishnu is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's mentioned as a demigod. Yeah. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.